And this is the part that breaks my heart about like my work. It's like we talk about this and I feel like so many women want this, but when they're confronted with something challenging in terms of like a sensation or trigger or an emotion or whatever, we're using food to push down this truth. We're using food to like temporarily dilute or numb this sensation. And so we're severing ourselves from our bodies. We're dissociating. We're maintaining that level of disembodiment. And that's the tragedy.
Welcome to the Body Forward Podcast. I'm Kenzie Burke, your host. I am devoted to living a life that is full of transformation. Like a snake, shedding layers, coming back home to myself and remembering who I really am. I have found that the answers we are often looking for, the freedom we seek to feel, the creative energy we desire, the confidence we would like to embody, is not something outside of us, but within us. Our bodies are full of wisdom, remembrance, liberation, and it is here on this podcast where I share my personal journey and conversations with my mentors, friends, and others who are aspirational in living a life full of transformation. Thank you for coming.
Oh, well, thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, I'm so excited to hear about you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Likewise. If you're going to share, I don't know.
But I'll share.
I'm excited.
Yeah. Yeah. My podcasts are very conversational.
Cool.
I'm not really a scripter. I just kind of go where the wind takes us.
Cool.
Yeah.
That was good.
So with that being said, would you introduce yourself?
Ooh.
Whatever way you feel called to do so.
Yeah. My name is Jillian. I'm a functional dietitian, but I'm really pretty obsessed with the intersection between the psychological, emotional, and the intersection between that and the physical, like what drives our behavior around food. So I'm interested in supporting the physiology, but really like why our physiology got to the state that it's in. And even deeper than that, like helping people free themselves from suffering and suffering in their body, suffering with what keeps them restricted, disempowering relationships, particularly with food. That's kind of who I am and what I do.
How did you get there?
That was my journey.
Yeah.
My journey. I had an eating disorder from really disordered eating since I was a child, since like 4 years old. I was turning to food to soothe myself as a little one, and it developed into a full-blown eating disorder when I was in high school, and I checked myself into a treatment center for bulimia and binge eating disorder when I was 22.
So was it not eating and then eating?
Or? It was like self-soothing with food, and then the purging kind of came into the mix, and then that was really dangerous. But no one ever helped me diffuse the charge that I still had around food. So while I was no longer bulimic, I was still using food to numb. And binge eating disorder really after that, really the whole duration of that. And even in the midst of like the gnarly eating disorder, like I knew it wasn't ever about the food. And so I became obsessed with what the hell was it?
Mm-hmm. And what'd you find?
Oh my God.
Well, it's never about the food.
It's never about the food. And
it's never about the thing.
Right. Yeah. It's emotional regulation. It's nervous system regulation or attempted emotional regulation. But what I didn't know was that there was repressed memories of pretty intense abuse when I was a child that I discovered 30 years later because of an ayahuasca experience.
Isn't it crazy?
It's so nuts. And my entire life made sense after learning that. And I still had to do a lot of course, healing and dismantling and restoring of my system and sense of self. But like knowing my story was so profoundly liberating. And I was just flooded with so much compassion for all the versions of myself that had suffered so deeply. And so much has opened up since then.
Is that when your journey with your career then started?
I had already gone to school to become a dietitian, but admittedly, I was interested in like learning how to like hack the system, hack my body so that I could be thin and happy as we're fed, right?
Yeah.
And while I don't believe that's totally untrue, I think that thinness as a byproduct of self-care and self-love is a beautiful state. But thinness with suffering and restriction and rigidity is not happiness. And so I was trying to get to it from that angle. I was trying to learn how to hack the system so that I could achieve this dream body, and then all of a sudden all my problems would dissolve. And that obviously didn't work, but I was still really struggling while I was in school with food. And I honestly, I heard a podcast talking about the healing potential of psychedelics. It was a Tim Ferriss podcast in like 2016. And I was like, this is it. This is my way. Like, I had tried, treatment center multiple times, like all the things, all the modalities, past life regression, hypnotherapy. And while they're beautiful, nothing was really moving the dial for me. And that, like, in my body was like, this is your way out. I kind of knew without knowing that there was something wanting to be discovered, even though I had no idea what it was. And it opened everything. So I'd already gotten my license as a dietitian, but I knew I wanted to pursue the psychology of eating, like what was really driving it, because that was my story. And so once I learned it, it really solidified this path for me in terms of my work, my purpose, all the things.
And then it changed within you.
Yeah.
There's thinness. Here's how I look at it. There's being thin, and then there's being light.
I love lightness. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I've been thinking about this a lot lately and having conversations about it, because you can live in your dream body.
Yeah.
And you can still not see it. I've even looked pictures back at picture of myself. I'm like, what was I so fixated on?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And there's thinness and there's lightness.
Yeah. And lightness, I love that, because it's like, there's physical weight, but there's such heavy, dense, energetic, and emotional weight.
And when that's in check, your body really can maintain the state of lightness.
Yeah. And it lets go. Like, I've been in the place of like eating maybe perfectly, like all the things, right? And my body still is inflamed and carrying excess weight and
digestive stuff.
All the things. So it's so much more than of course calories or macronutrients or even food. It's charged. It's so charged.
Yeah, it is. So then did that all come to light after the plant medicine for you? Like the deep unraveling of the healing?
Deep. I mean, I was in solitude for 2 years after I learned my story, and it was a deep death portal and rebirth simultaneously. So magical, so full of just wisdom and teachings and blessings and agony and all the things, but it was magical. And I really started to understand just the divinity of what I had experienced, and now, and this like deep desire to serve in this capacity and share. And I really believe that we're all using food, those of us that use food in those dysfunctional ways, to regulate our systems, to try to soothe. We're seeking nurturance. And if we can learn to give ourselves that in other ways, then it becomes really empowering. And of course, like the whole system is transformed.
What are some of the ways you found find with people that really help healing?
I mean, this is just a practical example, but one of the women that just completed my program within 3 months of working together, it was really four because we extended a bit, but she lost 33 pounds. And it's not because of a rigid diet. It's because she learned how to hold herself through moments of discomfort. Because when we're allowing ourselves to feel deeply, we no longer need anything to numb. Mm-hmm. And so it's like the best kept weight loss secret in the world just like deeply holding yourself and no longer, you know, temporarily satiating a need.
Yeah. Wow. It's so, I was just having this conversation last night with my friend, more so about moving. I think we all have done it with food, or that was my thing of like, I need to ground. I need to ground, you know, and I really have been teaching myself, like, you breathe to ground, you can go in, you can feel, but my big pattern is also moving. Like, I need to move houses. I get very hyper fixated on that when I feel. So that was arising last week. And I was just talking to my friend last night, and he was like, yeah, and now you're learning how to just go feel versus take action.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
That's literally the thing. I'm about to speak to 200 physicians in like less than a week. And that's the message. It's like, can we cultivate safety within ourselves to feel? Mm-hmm. Because when we give ourselves permission and security to feel, we don't need anything to numb. But we're all terrified of feeling. But it's like bizarre to me, and I'm part of this, that it's like part of the human experience is to feel. We want to experience life and things, but we're all so terrified of just that. We're terrified of feeling because it wasn't safe when we were children or we weren't supported or held. And so it's like relearning, repatterning how to feel.
And it's really not that scary when you're feeling it.
It's way worse. The fear of feeling is way worse than the actual feeling.
The feeling is very neutral.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, that's why I love psychedelics, because
it gets you right there.
Yes. But also like in the moment while you're feeling, your experience of yourself, you're experiencing your tolerance or your capacity mm-hmm. to feel like expand in the moment. And that lends itself to like unaltered states of consciousness where you're like, oh, before I used to have to run away from this big scary feeling, but now I have the experience of myself where I can actually stay and be with it and like bring in practices or rituals to like move through it and like learn from it, dance with it, whatever. And then you come out the other side like way more embodied and way more empowered, and you don't have to numb. You're mm-hmm. back in your body. Mm-hmm. Where all the fucking juices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I love psychedelics for that too. Psychedelics really showed me my capacity.
Mm. What do you mean?
Both of my ceremonies were just so insane. Mm. And I met parts of myself that I knew was in there, but just in the most untethered, messiest, just way. Mm-hmm. And after both times, I was like, wow, I'm really fucking powerful. You know, it's and just even seeing how, oh, I've been so scared to just unleash the beast.
Yeah. I think that was one of the pieces of my experience that I raged about the most, was like the lies and the level of conditioning that I subscribed to about my power or the lack thereof. Like, I really believed I was powerless and like just weak and incapable. And like my ex-husband used to say, it's like you're drowning in a glass of water. And he wasn't wrong. Like everything and anything would trip my nervous system. I could handle one thing at a time. And I subscribed to all of those narratives, and like the releasing of the conditioning and the things I believed about myself as a result of the trauma was like, there were so many layers to it, but I was so enraged at who I thought myself to be.
Mm. I relate so deeply. Yeah. So deeply.
Lies.
Yeah. Lies. Even for me, it was like I can't sing. I can't dance. I can't do this. It was just, one by one, I was like,
you'll only be
dragons.
Loved if
like,
you look a certain way.
That's not true. That's not true.
Mm-hmm. Conditional love. Like you have to behave like X in order to receive that kind of treatment.
Yeah, and that comes from childhood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was just curious, like lies.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. It's such a reclamation of self. Yeah. How many ceremonies have you done?
Many.
Okay. So you just kept going back.
Yeah, and I've sat with various medicines over the years. That ceremony where I kind of remembered everything, it was really difficult and confronting for me to accept, of course, and so I like tucked it away and was like, I don't know what the hell that was, but like we're done with that. And then I started having flashbacks, and I sat with medicine probably like another 6 to 8 months later, and then everything like really came out full force. And it was like in an undeniable and very uncomfortable way that I was like confronted with the reality. And at that ceremony, I met who became a dear friend and teacher, and was fortunate enough to work with him very consistently for about 4 months, where I did a lot of consistent medicine work in that short amount of time. And I describe that experience as like a cosmic car wash of my soul. Like it was like really quite radical, and he is a total alien. And it was just this beautiful, like, deep cleaning, not in like a dirty, I wasn't dirty, but like this cleansing of my soul, of this energy that had been stored in my body, and all of this insane amount of fear. And so that was a really intense period of my journey with a lot of medicine work. And then I took a big pause of integration, and I started to incorporate other methodologies like breath and meditation and dance. That's when I found dance. And
so healing.
So good.
Dance is so healing.
Oh my God. I remember having a solo mushroom journey, my only solo mushroom journey, because I don't think I recommend those. At least like not for everybody.
No.
Unnecessary. But the medicine specifically told me, like, because I used to stand in front of the mirror and like pick apart my body and, you know, like all of that world. And the medicine was like, your reflection, that habit is like ego food, and you need to starve the ego. And so on medicine, I grabbed like a stack of printer paper and like meticulously, like so balanced, like taped this paper to all of my mirrors from like the neck down, and didn't look at myself in a mirror for over 2 months, not even like on a building reflection or car window. And that period is when I found dance. Because before, dance was like performative, and I would be thinking to myself how I was being perceived by another. Mm-hmm. Whereas like with no ability to see myself in any reflection, I would close my eyes, and like it brought me back in my body after a lifetime of being disassociated and disembodied. It was so magical.
That is so magical. And that's what it is. It's coming back into the body.
Yeah.
And that's really what I found through plant medicine too, was my body. It was like, oh, we have this connection.
Yeah.
It's not cut off from my neck down. And that's where all the power lies, you know,
all
is here, right?
In
this center of creation. And that's what, just historically too, has been so shut down.
Totally.
So that's why we're all just like, now we've got this. We're awakening this. This is not true.
Yeah.
Coming into our body.
And this is the part that breaks my heart about like my work. It's like we talk about this, and I feel like so many women want this, but when they're confronted with something challenging in terms of like a sensation or a trigger or an emotion or whatever, we're using food to push down this truth. We're using food to like temporarily dilute or numb the sensation. And so we're severing ourselves from our bodies. We're dissociating. We're maintaining that level of disembodiment. And that's the tragedy, because what we're really craving is deep connection with ourselves. But when we're using really any substance to, you know, intervene, we don't have access to what the trigger initially was, the discomfort, but also we lose access to like the magic and the intuition and the power and the wisdom that's in our body. It's like, it's immense.
And then shaming what we just did.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's an epic distraction.
Yeah.
It's so epic.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Do you guide people through plant medicine?
Yeah, I use psychedelics in my work. I use ketamine just because I have a license, and I work with various prescribers in different areas that can prescribe the medicine to my client. And then I'm really holding the space, but I have a 13-week program where women sit with really men and women now. Men are starting to come to me.
Really?
Yeah, it's been really beautiful.
Men are really starting to work on themselves.
I'm so here for it. It's so powerful. At first I was like, oh, I'll only be able to relate to women. And oh my gosh, the transformations I've seen in some of these men, it's such a privilege. But yeah, three times over the course of the 13 weeks, they're in medicine space. And what I like about ketamine is that, A, it's legal, and there's that, but it's really gentle and surprisingly incredibly heart-opening. And so for people that have experienced complex trauma like myself, sometimes sitting in a mushroom ceremony is like—
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
And control is not the right word, but you really don't have control what comes through. And it can there's many times where I was like, change the scene.
Yeah, it can be shadowy.
Like, please change the song.
I know. Shadowy and like really confronting and really jolting to the nervous system, especially if you're coming in so contracted with fear of like what you may find, or knowing that you've gone, you know, been up against something challenging. Like I even experienced this myself where I'll go into a ceremony and I'll have to work through and wade through the initial contraction of my system in order for me to get to like the good stuff. Mm-hmm. And not everybody can fully make it through that space or get deterred from that like initial barrier. And so ketamine is so gentle and really allows them to come in like receptive and open to whatever wants to come through without that contraction of their system. And so we're able to like really pull out some nuggets.
Do you talk with them through the ketamine?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am. It's not the Jillian show, so I'm not doing a lot of the talking or the guiding, but I will intuitively bring them to certain points of their story and kind of help them open doors to whatever they're there to explore. By the time they touch medicine, we've been working together for over a month, so there's trust and there's safety, and I know their story, and so I can guide.
That's amazing. It's and juicy. Then are you noticing too a rise in people wanting to be in their bodies?
Absolutely. A rise in them wanting to and their capacity to
be in. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ketamine is interesting because it's a dissociative, mm-hmm. but what I've found, and this is purely anecdotal, but what I've found is like for people that have lived dissociated, it actually helps put us back in our bodies because.
Yeah. I found that from ketamine too.
Yeah. It's really wild. And so all of a sudden they're able to connect to certain sensations or like weird things moving or temperature changes in their body. And then eventually they're able to make the connection emotionally. Like, oh, I'm feeling like hollowness in my stomach. There's fear of like being alone or whatever the case is. It's beautiful and kind of abstract. Like I feel like, and I hope this doesn't come off as arrogant, but like, I feel like I speak the language of the medicine.
You, the moment I met you, I was like, is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I can like, see it in you in a really beautiful way.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have the capacity to like pull on a thread. There's like I see it as like an energetic thread and I pull it and this whole ball of yarn unravels of this incredible breakthrough. But yeah, it's like a language. Medicine is really abstract. Mm-hmm. I remember a client of mine, her very first ceremony, she experienced that she was like in the middle of an ocean and she was feeling very alone and afraid. And there was like this darkness around. And then she like, I guess, looks up in the medicine space and she sees this bird, like there's this bird above her. And so in the experience, I'm like, you know, asking her, inviting her to like feel into the energy of the bird and like, Is it benevolent? Is it inviting? Whatever. And she was like, it's very scary. It's very like this abrasive energy. And it turned out to be like kind of representative of her father and how she was like living in the shadow, like living in fear in the shadow of her father. It's like, Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
That's
so powerful.
I don't know why that example or that particular scenario came to my mind, but it's like.
Because it shows up in different ways, yeah. But the message is there.
Yes. Always.
Yes. And it's more gentle than mushrooms where they're like, here's the
message.
Now
I'm going to eat you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That's so cool.
Yeah. It's special. And I'll give you like another example of this male client that I have who's wrapping up now, but he was pretty neglected by his mother as a child. And I'll say before I go off on that story that what I've found also is like a lot of people that struggle with food in particular as their substance of choice have a mother wound. Mm-hmm. We have a mother wound.
Yeah.
We're seeking nurturance and comfort and safety. Mm-hmm. And that's typically the experience we felt as children when we were in the arms of our mothers being nursed. We were both safe and held and loved and being fed at the same time. And so I believe there was like a cross-wiring, neurologically speaking, of like food equals those things. Like food equals safety and comfort and warmth and
without
love. Right? It makes a lot of sense. So if those needs were met and maybe there was another kind of traumatic experience, maybe they have a propensity to reach for something else. But the people that typically reach for food, there is an existing mother wound. And this particular client had that. And fast forward, you know, he started gaining a lot of weight as a child, and to the point where he had bariatric surgery as an adult, and was just yo-yo dieting all his life, really unhappy with his body, just in that space of deep, deep suffering. And ended up meeting someone, getting married, having children. And then when the children were, they're still quite young, but several years later, the woman passed away. So he's now a widower. And working with him, taking him through these three medicine experiences, he got to see that, and this is like maybe triggering for certain people, but he got to see that there was such a blessing that came out of his experience of losing his beloved, that he's now being invited into learning how to mother himself, to heal the wound from his mother, but also to show up as a nurturing source of love and mother energy to his young children now. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, wow. Mm-hmm. The divinity. Mm-hmm. There's divinity in everyone's journey. Like this invitation for him to connect with his femininity so he can learn how to hold himself so deeply so that he stops using food to soothe, and so that he can learn how to mother his children as both the father and
healing himself.
The mother.
Yeah.
It's like his life is completely transformed.
Yeah. And that was all supposed to happen. I've been doing Kabbalah.
Ooh.
Have you done?
No, but it's always been a source of intrigue for me.
Ooh, so good. And that's one of the first things you learn in the course is that before you come here, everything is already predestined. Every single thing that's going to happen is supposed to happen. And it is our job in our lifetime to transmute it, mm-hmm. and to find the lesson in it. So whether that's money, love, food, whatever, your mother wound, whatever that is, it is our job in this lifetime to rise to the occasion,
yes.
and find what it is we came here to do. And that's our gift to the world. Yes, that's alchemy. And if we don't do that work in this lifetime, you know, it comes back to us. Mm-hmm. And that's something I'm really noticing in my own journey and just in connecting with a lot of other people is our generation is really this, like, this ends with me generation.
Oh, yeah. Gatekeepers.
And this generation that we're going to then bring into this world, they're like new angels that just... You know, so we've been doing all this deprogramming,
yes,
for that and for
totally.
That time, and yet learning that in the Kabbalah course changed everything for me, really deeply. From being the, you know, why I'm sad, I'm mad, I'm frustrated, it wasn't what I wanted, you know,
yeah,
to being more so in the driver's seat of my life and being like, all right, this was gonna happen,
yeah,
no matter what, and what can I do with this now?
Oh man,
and who do I get to become? Because of
it's
it. And what
so
kind of
empowering.
Mother do I get to be? What kind of wife do I get to be? What kind of person in the world do I get to be?
Yeah. I remember I set up like an altar space in my closet, one in my like normal part of the house and then another one in my closet because I like one in the light and one in the dark, and the closet one feels like very womby and like feminine.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being in my closet, actually being on medicine by myself. And like weeping, just gutturally like rolling around on the floor weeping because I was experiencing like the just agony of the pain I had experienced from what I shared and the absolute like depths of gratitude and mm-hmm. everything in between, recognizing that like this had to happen for me to be able to have gained all the wisdom and all the lessons that I'm now blessed with the opportunity of sharing with other people. It is just like, it blew my fucking mind. It was so exquisite
mm-hmm.
and like gutturally painful
mm-hmm.
and divine.
It's that balance of this isn't what I wanted, but okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, look
and
at all
great.
The beauty.
Yeah. And look who I am because
yes.
of it. Yeah. Yeah, it's so powerful.
So
powerful.
Epic.
And I think that's the number one thing that one can do to heal anything is just not being disassociated.
Yeah.
So owning it.
Yeah.
And two, really turning your pain into your power.
Yeah.
That's how you deeply get on top of your life,
yeah.
I find.
I couldn't agree more. And I think like people that may be suffering hearing something like that, they're like, great, like, how the hell do I do that? And I think it's as simple as like beginning to feel.
Mm-hmm. It is. That's like, what it
dip is. Dip your toe in the feeling waters. Figure out how you can try to create some safety for yourself, which really like the prerequisite is self-compassion, like softness with yourself, create safety. And then once you are a safe space for yourself, you can begin feeling. And in the feeling of it is where the power waits.
Mm-hmm. Because you see how powerful you are to be able to hold. I love the word capacity. That's what I've been meditating on for the last 6 months. It's like, what is the capacity that I have to hold my feelings, to hold the love, to hold the money, to really hold it all and be with it all? And I think you can be aware, because I really relate to your journey of being fully aware of what's going on. I was fully aware, this is fucked up, I don't like this, but I wasn't feeling. And so I was aware and I thought I was, you know, doing it, but not nothing was changing.
Yeah.
Until I started to feel. And then, I felt like I've felt like such a broken record because my whole life I've been like, I have had this hard path. And then when I really started to feel, I was like, I really had this hard path.
Yeah.
And but then it really started to change the more I felt and the more I went back in the body. And then the more really the Kabbalah thing really helped me too.
That's so interesting. And I haven't explored it because my story about it is I don't know where to start. Like, I don't know, like, the entry point.
I'll send it to you. And anyone listening, I'll put it in the show notes.
Love that.
It's the Kabbalah One course.
I would love
so simple, donation-based.
Amazing.
I did it twice while I was walking the dog every morning. Yeah. And it was just so beautiful.
I would love that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really, really beautiful. And I think I love plant medicine and I loved my journeys, and I also recognized how comfortable I was doing plant medicine.
Yeah.
So much more than actually being here on earth.
Yeah.
And so that was a big part of the Kabbalah thing was really big, helping me learn how to integrate the acceptance of I am here on earth.
Yeah.
Because I'll sign up and go zoop, over there any day. You know, I like put my war suit on and I'm down.
Yeah.
But more so being comfortable with being here. Having things feel good and feel easy and not, you know, constantly. I'm curious to know if you felt, was it hard to let in ease? Because I feel like when you go through kind of a hard time, you get this defensive shell, which I find myself constantly having to be like, it can be easy.
Yeah.
You can
be seen. Mine looked like warrior, like tough.
Yeah.
Like it was total armor. Like like major lone wolf archetype.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, like I got it. I'm good. Like I don't need you.
Yeah,
you know, and like inside I was like, where are humans?
I'm
so alone. Like it was like that 2 year period of solitude was medicine. I needed to like really go in and discover myself, remember myself, create myself, all of the things. But then there was like a clear tipping point of like, oh, this was once medicine and now it's becoming like poison. I need humans. And it took a lot of like de-armoring in that phase to like start to let people back in. And so ease, I think it was like my version of struggle, of hard.
Mm-hmm.
It was like I was used to doing things myself, but like letting people in was a whole another game, especially partnership, women, girlfriends, like all of it.
What's your sign?
I'm Virgo Libra cusp.
Okay.
Like last second of Virgo.
Oh, that's amazing. I see both.
Yeah.
For sure.
I feel both.
What's your rising?
My rising is Sag and my moon is Aquarius.
Okay. I was going to say there's definitely fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you?
I'm an Aries.
Okay.
Yeah. So I really have that lone wolf art. My whole and my north node is Libra. So that's learning how to be in partnership. So my south node is Aries. So I come from war. Independence, I got it. I don't need help. And the whole going into my body thing has been the biggest unfreezing of that.
Yeah.
Because there was just, I mean, I had armor just like triple wrapped around my entire body my whole life.
Yeah.
So there's been a lot of that. Okay, I can take it off. And the human thing, you know, just I think when you can get so... Some people can be very comfortable and use relationships, and that's their toxic trait.
Yep.
Mine has definitely been being alone.
Me too.
Like, oh, I'll just just lock myself away for a year.
Hardcore.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in human design, I'm a projector, but I'm a 2-4 projector. And the 2-4 is like the hermit and the opportunist.
And projector. Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
So it's like I have to go into my own space to like gather things and learn and reflect and be on my own energy. But my mission, my success, my wealth, all the things is like correlated with my social network. And so it's this really interesting polarity of like balancing the two. And I feel like I'm always like teetering on the line of like off balance.
Yeah, that's fascinating. And then you're on the Libra cusp.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah, yeah, your soul has a mission here.
Yeah. I think all. Do you believe that all souls do?
Yes.
Me too.
Yes. Yes. And I think everyone can access it. But I don't believe everyone views their life that way.
I don't think so either. And I don't know if this is true across the board, but it feels true for so many that it's like deeply intertwined with our pain.
Mm-hmm.
Like where you suffered is like your curriculum that you now get to serve if you're up to the task of like fully moving through it.
Yeah, it's your greatest power.
And teacher.
Yeah. Because otherwise it keeps repeating itself. Like if I had the same exact pattern and knock on my door.
Mm-hmm.
Until it's finally like, okay, this is what I'm here to do. Let's go.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I really believe that everyone's soul has a mission.
Me too.
I believe that we're all here for a reason.
Me too.
You know? And my wish is that people really look at their life in that way.
Me too.
We would live in such a different world. Just be awake, you know, and be here for it and feel. And something that just has helped me so much is just the more I've opened about my own journey and my own path. And when I moved to Austin, just like really meeting people and being able to look at someone at yoga and be like, fuck, it's been a hard week, you know?
Yeah.
And just being honest about it. But that's what it starts with. Cause for me, I'm like, we're all suffering to some degree inside.
Yes.
So let's talk about it.
Yeah.
You
let's
know?
Normalize it.
Yeah. Everyone has their own set of demons in their closet. And the more we can just, and we're also living in a new time, like this age of Aquarius, mm-hmm. and let's just open the door and let them come out.
And also like not to be afraid of the dark.
Yeah.
Like the darkness is where the roots grow. The darkness is like the fertile soil of like creation and the womb space. And so it's like, we're all so afraid of our own darkness and the darkness in others, but it's like, we've all got it.
Yeah.
Might as well normalize it and like roll around in there. It's
juicy. Yeah, and usually when you go there, something amazing is coming.
Always.
Yeah.
Maybe not in that moment.
No.
It can be gnarly for a little while.
But there's something being birthed.
Totally.
And I think when you can start to shift your viewpoint, because for me now, when those dark times are coming, mm-hmm. I'm more so embracing them. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, here we go.
Here's an up level.
Yeah.
There's an up level.
Literally.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Something that helps me so much is like the word initiation. Like it's like if once I can recognize that I'm in like the crunch, it's just an initiation. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
I got this.
I love that word too.
I got this.
I was just texting my friend Leslie, who's an astrologer, and him and I've been on the same journey, you know. And he's like, I'm feeling really emo today. And I was like, initiation vibes. He's like, totally.
It's really what it is. It's an up level. It's a stretch. Like it's an expansion. People often talk about how uncomfortable contractions are, but they don't talk about how uncomfortable it is to expand. You're literally being stretched. Your capacity is expanding. And that means like, holy shit, you're carrying more and like you're managing more both internally and in circumstantially in your life. And it's like, it's a lot. I was drowning in a glass of water at one point in my life, just in my undergrad program. I couldn't manage anything else. And now I have a lot. I have a much bigger plate. And every time something gets added to my plate, I'm like, fuck. But I like, with my practices to stay grounded and in my body,
have to.
I can hold more. And it feels good. And then it's like this balancing act of like, okay, that's too much. Let me create more spaciousness. And it's not like there's no accolade for being busy. But it's like my capacity energetically has expanded. And that feels good because I'm up to stuff in the world. And I want to be up to stuff in the world.
It feels really good to be in purpose.
Yeah.
And that's something too about this healing journey that I really found is I've had to stop myself at some points. Like, okay, it's time to go out and create some purpose in the world, because that energizes you and that fuels you. And when you're comfortable with the long journey and cleaning the insides, I had an astrology reading and she looked at me and she's like, enough cleaning the insides. You've been doing it. Get out of your house. I was like, ah.
Yeah. It's a thing.
Yeah.
It's a thing. And like, yeah, we can get totally like hooked on healing.
Yeah.
And it's balanced. It's like play and pleasure and adventure and all of those things. And I found, I didn't know this, but I thought that like healing had to be like shadow work and in the dark, but there's so much healing available in play and love.
Community,
and
dance, yeah, singing.
Yeah. So much.
You mentioned an ex-husband.
Yeah, uh-huh.
So what shifted?
Oh my gosh. Me, literally.
Yeah.
I mean, I met him when I was 25 and floundering in my life. No idea what I was doing and where I was going. And in many ways, he was such a blessing because he helped guide the trajectory of my life. I went back to school to pursue nutrition. I traveled a lot of the world. It was a beautiful experience, but it was so karmatic. It was so misaligned. There wasn't alignment. And we were both unhappy, but kind of trying to make it work. And I sat with ayahuasca for the first time in 2020. And I always say, like, she made it really hard for me to continue to lie to myself. And part of what was untrue was that relationship and how restricted I felt and how disembodied and lost I felt. I didn't recognize myself in the mirror, literally. And it was one of the scariest things of my life. But I left. And it was so rewarding, terrifying, but so fucking rewarding. Like, spirit favors courage.
It does.
Really. And it wasn't like reckless, but it was courage. And I was so supported.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
When you're going through all of this, where was it hard with your career?
I just launched my business the same month that I left that marriage.
Okay. Yeah.
Which is nuts. Yeah. I have a tendency of jumping off cliffs.
Same.
Like, not fake.
Oh,
not
me too.
Actually,
me too.
But yeah, yeah. I'm like, okay, I have to do this. And
I'm going to do other things right now.
Yeah.
Big life changes right now.
And I don't have a plan, but we're just gonna hope it works. And it always does.
Yeah.
It fucking always does. So I'm like getting better at cliff jumping.
It almost works better.
It does work better.
It's had kind I been of that so notion when you have something so long out. I was always this kid in school. And if I had a group project, I would just like, or a big test, we had 4 weeks to do it, I'd wait for the night before, you know? And then I'd crash.
Yeah.
But it's almost that just living on the edge of your seat a little bit.
My nervous system doesn't love this trait about me.
Me either. No. And every time I'm doing it, I'm like, I'm not going to do this again.
I'm like, why am I doing it like this?
But sometimes when it's time to change, it's time to change.
Yeah. And I knew it. And I had been like fighting it out of fear and just smallness and so much fear, not believing that I could stand on my own 2 feet. And
so that's the ultimate showing you
it
business
was.
And being on your own.
It was so wild and so magical. And I was supported and my business started to take off right away, which is like really pretty incredible.
Wow.
And it evolved since then. It was like predominantly like functional nutrition in the beginning and then. But I always knew I would get into the psychedelics. I knew that it was not about the food. So the name of my business is The Root Cause Method. And I believe that the root cause of chronic illness is trauma. And so it was always geared towards, in some capacity, unearthing the trauma that forms our behaviors, that form our physiological state. And so medicine weaved itself quite organically into the mix of that. But it didn't start that way. And yeah, it just started growing. And
how did you launch it online?
I drafted a one pager of like, this is who I am, this is what I'm doing, this is what I focus on in my practice, and I sent it to everyone I knew.
Cool.
And
that's so smart for anyone listening. That is so smart.
I sent it to everyone I knew, and in the email it was like, you know, if this feels of interest to you, amazing. If it may, you know, be resonant for someone that you know, please pass it along. And I started getting calls. And I also had relationships with functional practitioners in the area that knew me and trusted my work and my education. And so they started referring their patients to me, and it just started growing. And yeah, it's been an organic process, but really, really cool. And now I have a dietitian on staff who kind of runs that arm of my work, and I'm doing this more trauma-informed stuff and speaking and facilitation work now. And
that's amazing.
It's been really, really such a blessing.
And I love that you're speaking about the root cause.
Thank you.
I really do.
Thank you.
Because it's just, that's what it is.
That's what it is.
Yeah. That's deeply what it is. And I look around too at anyone struggling, or just people, even noise online,
yeah,
just about like this diet, this diet, this, this, this. And I'm like, no,
no,
that's just not it.
Overeating, overconsumption of any substance is a symptom of an issue that a diet will never heal.
Yeah.
Ever. And so like, if we see these things as symptoms, then we're invited to explore what's driving them. I had no idea why I was overconsuming with food all my life until I gained the courage to look. And that's not everybody's story. Not everybody has repressed memories from childhood. But we all have, many of us learned to invalidate our own emotional experience. We learned that feelings weren't safe. Don't cry. You're going to go to your room if you're angry. Like, we learned to gaslight. We were gaslit. We learned to gaslight ourselves. And so it's like, giving ourselves permission to feel, like we've been talking about, and starting to look at what's driving these patterns. So much is wanting to be discovered. And then you don't have to go on a diet anymore.
Yeah.
Just like that.
Yeah. And you can enter a state of lightness.
Yeah.
From removing the density from your body.
Yes.
Which is a letting the emotions out.
Yes.
So that's what the density is.
Yeah.
It truly is.
I remember in that ayahuasca experience, I connected with, so I was at a retreat and I needed to use the restroom, and our instructions were to like make eye contact with a staff member so they could walk us to the restroom. And I looked up when I had to go to the bathroom, and I made eye contact with this woman who is much larger than me. And it was so divine because she helped me to the bathroom. And while I was walking with her through this field, spirit was like, or the medicine was like, the weight that she is carrying on her body is nothing but armor. Armor, like shielding her from her own truth and her own feelings, and armor shielding her from the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just this mechanism of prevention and protection, and my heart just melts for all that are suffering with their weight. I see it as like the pain that they're carrying, not that there's anything wrong with them or mm-hmm. faulty or, you know, none of the judgments. I see pain.
Yeah, and I think some people can really beat themselves up about the food thing, mm-hmm. but I've really observed in friendships, in family relationships, people eating a quarter of their plate, you know, and struggling with their weight.
Oh, yeah.
And I've always thought, oh, it's just not the food, is it?
There's a lot to that, because sometimes people don't like to eat in public around other
for
people.
For sure. For sure. But I've also
observed, also the emotional
like,
density.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you can also tell.
Yeah.
Then when someone's carrying
They're holding
that.
A lot.
Yes. Yeah.
That's been me. I mean, I worked out, ate all the things, like we said, and it was just like my weight wasn't moving, and it's like, okay, what am I holding? And what I found is like there are layers that kind of surface when there's a readiness for exploration.
Mm.
You know, I see there's so many layers to complex trauma that I believe, like in medicine space and without medicine, like we're only shown what we're capable of holding in that moment. And so sometimes people are scared of going into medicine space thinking that they're going to like have this horribly disturbing kind of fragmenting experience. And it's like, well, no, like trusting in the medicine that you will only get what you're capable of holding, but also outside of medicine space, like there's layers. And so I'm still unpacking layers of my wounding and my experience and the depths of that world, and something will come up to the surface and it's like, okay, now I'm equipped. Now I'm...
You have tools.
Yeah. I have the capacity. The
capacity.
Exactly.
Yeah.
To hold this. And then I just entered into a new partnership, and like I had been pretty much single since my divorce, which we got divorced in the beginning of 2021. So I was really took a lot of space for myself, a big integration period after that ceremony. And, you know, there's only so much you can do with yourself in terms of like your work. We need the reflections of other people and relationships. And so now in this romantic partnership, like so much more is coming to the surface, but I have the tools and the capacity and the bandwidth to sit with it, to be with it, to dance with it all. And it's beautiful. Yeah, there's layers.
Yeah, lots of layers. It's never ending. Mm-hmm. But I think the capacity just keeps, it's the capacity. It just keeps growing and growing and growing. We can hold more, and then there's different layers, and we're introduced to things when we're ready to see it and to feel it.
Yeah. And simultaneously, your sense of like self-efficacy and self-confidence also expands, because you're like, I can move through this. Mm-hmm. I can hold this. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be like pummeled by this wave.
Yeah, not getting lost in it. Mm-hmm. I think we can get really lost in it too.
Yeah.
To just more so observe it and feel it and be with it.
That's it.
Selfishly, I want to know how you ended up in Austin.
Ooh. Just really intuitively. I was in Miami for about 20 years and decided to go nomadic in the beginning of 2023, and was traveling and exhausted. And it got back from Italy, and like a week later, I was at the MAPS conference in Denver, and like my nervous system was like, we're done here. Like we're done with this. So much so that it felt like I was on ayahuasca with no medicine. Like I was having like heart palpitations while I was in Denver, and like crazy. I was barely sleeping, but when I was sleeping, it was like medicine space. It was really wild. And I saw myself as an oak tree seed, like an acorn. And inside, I had all this like genetic material, but it was like representative of like wisdom. Like I had things that I had in me that were in this like seed, and the medicine or whatever state of consciousness I was in was like, you're trying to plant yourself in 2 inches of soil. Like no roots can grow. You have to ground. And I was like, okay, I'm not traveling anymore, but I don't know what to do. I put all my stuff in storage. My dog was with my mom, like, and I went back to my mom's and was kind of in this open space of like, okay, show me what I'm supposed to do. And I had a conversation with a friend, and he's like, a friend of mine is subleasing her house in Austin for a month. Want to come check out Austin? And a couple of days later, I was driving with my stuff with my dog in my car and haven't left.
You like it?
I do.
Yeah.
It was another cliff. I was like, okay, here we go. But I felt the pull. Austin has this like really fertile.
It calls.
It called.
It calls. It literally called me in July. I was here. Everything moved across the country.
July, you got here?
It called me in July. Uh-huh. I was here end of August. It was just, it was like, I have to go.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, okay, I guess I'm going to Austin. And this was like, the question or the invitation was like, oh, you can sublease for a month. But I packed all my stuff. Like I knew I was moving. And my mom's like, you're moving. And like, and I haven't left it. It has this really magnetic pull, this very fertile energy of like incredible people doing really cool things and in collaboration.
Mm-hmm. It's very inviting and embracive.
Yeah.
Very like, embracive.
I'm here for it. I really am enjoying it.
Do you miss the ocean?
I miss the ocean, but I'm going back to Miami in like 3 days. Like I've gone like 4 times since I've been here. Yeah. So I get my fix, but we had danced, you know, for 20 solid years. I spent a lot of time at the ocean, and I was ready. I think there's more nature here than I initially thought.
There's a lot of nature here.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like Texas. I mean, I never thought I'd live in Texas.
Either. But
this doesn't feel like Texas.
It doesn't. It's not.
Yeah.
I mean, it is, but it doesn't feel like it.
It's magical.
It is. Yeah. And it's exciting because it feels like there's so much to explore that I have no idea. Like all these like pockets of cool stuff happening and places to explore.
Yeah, someone told me when I moved here, there's going to be something to do every single night. There's something to do every night.
Yeah.
So you'll never be, and it's actually true. There really is something to do every night if you want.
Yeah. Yoga, I'm too much of a hermit to do something every night.
Oh, no, me too. But it's always available.
Yeah.
There's lots of different pockets and groups.
Yeah.
Well, it's been so lovely getting to know you and your story. I love what you're doing. For anyone listening that wants to connect with you, where can they find you?
They can find me on Instagram at @JillianAcosta_RD or my website, which is therootcausemethod.com.
I'll link you in the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, it would mean the world to me if you gave it a rating and review. For my method, you can go to bodyforward.com. This is a Kundalini-activated daily practice that will quite literally transform your life from the inside out. It awakens any energy that is available to us in our bodies that is waiting to be activated and to come alive. Helps us remove density from the body and most importantly, create our lives and our path forward. This method has truly transformed my life and I'm so grateful that I get to share it with you every single week and be a part of your daily practice. I share new classes weekly, live stream classes. It's a powerful practice set to music. We do movement, we do breath, we do a lot of Kundalini activation, and I can't say enough good, amazing things about this practice. And it's not just me who feels this way. The reviews and testimonials from all of you just sharing how it's helped you move your life forward has been so phenomenal. And I'm just so endlessly grateful. So you can go to bodyforward.com, sign up for the membership. We offer a free 7-day trial so you can come give it a try. I can't wait to see you there. For all things Kenzie Burke, you can go to @KenzieBurke on Instagram, and I will see you on the next episode.